And so we continue in 1 Peter chapter 2, but before I get there, let me ask you, did you hear the news? The Democrats in Illinois are trying to rig the election. They're recalibrating their machines so that when you vote for Democrats, it votes for, or no wait, when you vote for Republicans, it votes for Democrats. Did you hear the news? Joni Ernst wants to take your Social Security away so you won't have a retirement. Did you hear the news? Barack Obama is not really an American. He's just fooling us all. He's really a Muslim trying to make all the world Muslim. Did you hear that? But Pastor, didn't you hear? Brothers and sisters in Christ, they're being persecuted for their faith. We need to revolt. We need to rebel. We need to fight back. We need to take back our country. So what does God's word say? We know what we want to do. We know what we post on Facebook for everyone to see. Who are you looking to this morning? Your politicians? Or do you look to Christ? We read in 1 Peter this morning, in chapter 2, we read, and for that matter, we read in Paul's letter to Rome in chapter 13. We learn from Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 22 what God's political slogan really is. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you must know what God has to say about the people whom he's placed in authority. So I want to spend a little bit of time. 25 years before Peter ever wrote this letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, as we're going to get to it in a little bit. But look at Jesus' word when it talks about government, when it talks about politics in Jesus' word 25 years before, as Peter learned from Jesus, he said this: be subject for the Lord's sake. Now that's 1 Peter. Go to the Matthew one first. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they would entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you're true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you not care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances." I mean, you sound like hypocrisy here. "Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin on the tax." And they brought him a denarii. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness is on the inscription? Is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Paul, some 8 years before 1 Peter was written, Paul says this in Romans chapter 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Who or would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you'll receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoers. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of your conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all that is owed to them, taxes whom they are owed, revenue whom the revenue is owed, respect to them who is owed, honor to them or to whom honor is owed. And we come to 1 Peter. We come to 1 Peter in the context of 1 Peter. Last week I said, listen, there is a Bible that unbelievers are reading, and that Bible is you. Unbelievers are reading you, follower of Christ, and they want to know how you react to the government. They want to see how you react to authority. They're reading your Bible, and they're reading your posts on Facebook. They're reading you. Do you know what God's word says in regards to the governing authorities? We turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Be subject. I like the new, that in the NIV, actually, I think it's a better translation. The ESV says be subject, but it really means submit. Submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be an emperor as supreme or to governors sent to him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. God's political slogan. Those to whom Peter were writing lived in a government and a society that was not favorable to Christianity. Not favorable at all. Can we relate? Both Peter and Paul were executed by the hands of Nero, the very emperor who was in control at this time. It wasn't until about the 4th century when Constantine legalized Christianity. It had a legitimacy. Let me tell you this. Christianity, true followers of Christ, growth in God's church happens through persecution, not prosperity. It's through the suffering that is taking place in China and Iraq and Syria that the gospel's exploding. It's not being held back because of who's in control, but it's through that very suffering that God's word goes forth in power. Do you believe that? This message is to the followers of Christ. And it couldn't have come at a better time. I mean, you did hear there are elections coming, right? If you listen to the pundits and the politicians, if something doesn't change, we're all going to die. Our trust is fully in the right party getting in. No pun intended. So have you read the scriptures? Have you read the scriptures? Whether it is Romans 13 or Jesus' words in Matthew 22 or Peter's letter in 1 Peter, have you read the scriptures or do we choose to ignore them? Our country was built on a revolution. And so somehow Christianity stems from that ideal that we must all revolt and rebel against the government. Does God really mean for us to do that today? I mean, seriously, doesn't God know what's going on in America? We're becoming a godless nation. Isn't God going to fix it? Abortions on demand, Biblical marriage turned upside down. Christians can't even put up a manger, for crying out loud. So what do? Rise up. Fight. Rebel. I'll tell you what we do. I'll tell you what we do. We listen to God's word. We follow God's word, not your emotions. None of that. We follow God's word, and so we listen to God's word, and that's what I'm going to go through today. What is God telling you to do in this political season, or in general in politics? What is God telling you, follower of Christ, to do? You ready for the first one? Here's God's political slogan. Here it is. Number one, submit. For Christ's sake, submit. And I wasn't meant to be funny with that. I'm not meant to use any sort of language with that. I'm literally saying submit, as the verse says in verse 14, for the Lord's sake. The first thing God wants you to do is to submit to the government. We'll talk about what that means. But listen, you submit to their authority because God has placed them in authority. I like the NIV translation better than the ESV. The word submit here literally means to get in line. Get in line. Submit under the authorities God has put in place. Scripture points to this throughout, does it not? Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Submitting, same word, to one another out of reverence to Christ. Why do we submit? All of us must submit to one another. Out of reverence for Christ, because he's our example, is he not? Look at verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. The word literally means get in line, to come under the authority. It doesn't mean doormat. It means God has placed people in authority. Get in line. We're all placed in authority. We're all placed in a place where we must get in line. God is telling us, Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says God desires God's people to submit, to get in line. Get in line for what? To every human institution. Literally means ordinances, means laws. It means that God established, created institutions like government or whatever. God is telling you, get in line with what they say. If they say don't speed, don't speed. If they say pay taxes, pay taxes. It is not the job of a follower of Christ to disobey God's laws. Because people are reading our Bibles. They're reading you. They're reading me. Lead foot man. So you read the scriptures. What do you do with these verses? Does it mean that if the school were to say, you can no longer preach the gospel, you can no longer preach, I need to submit to the government? The laws that are established, do I submit to someone who says, Greg, you cannot preach the gospel? Well, there's an exception. And this is the only exception. Because Peter himself in Acts chapter 4 said this. Follow along with me as he dictates the exception to following the authorities of God. You ready? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, and these people are the Pharisees, the rulers, the governors, or the people who were in charge, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, and they recognized they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that we may spread no further among the that in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone of his name. That's Jesus. So they called them in, charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, and for all were praising God for what had happened. The only exception to which we do not submit to the authorities is when they say we cannot share the gospel. Listen, we just got a note, and this means, I'm just sharing this as an example. We got a note using one of the rooms in the school. And in one of the rooms, we may have used a marker or used a pen, and for whatever reason, the teacher, and praise God, that, I mean, it's her room. She said, don't touch any of my stuff. Don't use any of our stuff. Everything in me wanted to rebel against that. Everything in me wanted to write a note back and say, now listen to me. You know those taxes I pay? See, that's my heart. And it's yours too, right? When someone we're under an authority of somebody, our natural inclination is to rebel against them. Husbands, wives, bosses, co-workers. Our sin nature gets in the way of God's truth. God says, submit. Submit, get in line, so that they might see your good works and put to shame their ignorance. The second thing I see in God's slogan, not only does he call us to submit for Christ's sake, to submit so that people might see. The second thing I see in verse 15 is this. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. The second thing is that God wants you to know is not only to submit to government officials, but you need to trust God's plan. Isn't that a big deal? I mean, we argue with God. I mean, I remember my first voting experience, Bob Dole. I'm Bob Dole. You need to vote for me because I'm Bob Dole. I'm thinking I'm voting for Bob Dole because he's Bob Dole. Bob Dole didn't win. He got destroyed. Was that God's plan? As followers of Christ, whatever party gets elected, how do you respond? Are we up in arms? I mean, I can't believe God let so-and-so in office. They're reading you. People who don't know Christ, they're reading you. You say you trust God, but you're not saying it. You're not showing it. God's political slogan is submit. God's political slogan is trust him. Trust him. If you don't think you can trust him, you need to read your Bible more. Okay? Have you heard of Nebuchadnezzar? Have you heard of him? Read Daniel. Okay? Have you heard of Pharaoh? Read Exodus. Have you read Judges? Of course, our response to those in power is, I can't believe they're in there. We need to trust God's plan. He uses the word will of God. To trust him is to submit to the will of God. The word will there literally means desire. It literally means a preferred will. God desires, prefers that you trust him. But he knows that is a faith battle between every single one of you, in me too. And if I walk by the Spirit, I trust God. If I walk in the flesh, I trust the flesh. This is a trust issue. God's political slogan is, he's sanctifying you through this process. He's sanctifying you. This is the will of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe it's God's will to have so-and-so in party? Because if you do, it changes everything about how you respond. It changes everything of how you respond. Listen, I know it's hard. I mean, some of these people are hard to love. But you believe his word. And you believe his plan. That's what God desires for you to do. The next thing I see here, it's found in verse 16. Not only do you submit for the Lord's sake, submit because Christ says to submit. He's our example. We'll see it in verses 21 through 25. We trust God's plan. We trust his will. And number three, we understand. God wants you to understand your position. What is your position? We need to understand where we're at. Look at verse 16 with me again. Live as people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Jesus clearly teaches that in Christ we are free. No politician can enslave us. No government can enslave us positionally, eternally. They can throw me in jail. But like Paul, I will sing praises to his name. Jesus taught it in John chapter 8. Read with me real quick. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue, abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So in other words, if you follow my words, you're my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Do you positionally believe you're free? Because if you're free, no one, no matter who's in party, can enslave you. Does this give you license to sin then? Does this give you license to do what you want? Certainly not, Romans chapter 6 says. Paul addresses it. I didn't put it up there, but I'll just quote it to you. Shall we continue to sin so that grace might abound? Certainly not. How can we who have believed continue to sin so that grace might abound? If you know Christ, if you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you know the destruction of sin. You're free. Paul writes in Galatians 5, for freedom, Christ has set me free. Stand firm, therefore, in the freedom, in your position that comes through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The word live, it literally means daily conduct. It's a continual pattern. It's not a one and done deal. Every day you have to remind yourself that you're free. Because once you forget, you start to look at the world and the world for its answers. Followers of Christ, it should never be so. The word servant there literally means bondservant. Most of your translations might even say bondservant. What that means is a literal voluntary slave. You are voluntarily submitting to God's will. You are voluntarily submitting to God's plan. You are voluntarily submitting because it's your desire to. I want to be a servant of God. Do you? Do you? Pastor Pat, the pastor at Sailorville Church, it's our home church, he said this. He said, we are citizens with earthly visas. Let me say that again. We are citizens of heaven with earthly visas. See, visas expire. But citizenship is forever. We are citizens of heaven. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a citizen of heaven. So live like it on earth. The last one. Not only God's political slogan is for you to submit for His sake. Not only is it to trust God's plan because it's His will. Not only do you need to understand your position, that you're free, but lastly, you need to understand your orders. What are your orders? You ready? Look at verse 17 with me. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. That's a political slogan. What is he saying here? Well, look at the word order here. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood. Stop. The word honor there literally means to hold up with respect, to show respect. Listen, God calls every single one of us to respect everyone. Respect everyone. Even if they offend you, respect them. I know that's hard, right? If people want to come attack me, I'm going to attack back. But listen, that should not be so with Christ followers. Remember, unbelievers are reading our Bibles. They're reading us. Honor men, love the brotherhood. See, not only is he saying, listen, show respect to people who don't know Christ. Show respect to everybody. What he's saying then on the opposite effect is, listen, you hold a higher standard, God's people. Followers of Christ, you show honor and love. The word is agape. It's the sacrificial love. Listen, you show respect to people who don't know Christ, and you love the people who do. Isn't that what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10? So then we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are in the household of faith. People are watching how we treat each other. So let's review. Submit, trust God, understand your position, understand your orders. Fear God. Honor the emperor. The word fear there is reverence. You notice the word order here? It's put God first. Yes, show respect to those who are in your authorities, but you put God first. And if the people who are in authority tell you not to preach the gospel, you fear God first. That is the only exception. Other than that, you pay honor to the ones whom God has put in place, whether you agree with their politics or not. So as we close, did you notice our text? And I would encourage you to read it again when you get a chance, when you go home and you study in small groups as we go around this word again. But in our text, in verses 13 through 17, did you see that God is mentioned four times in five verses? Lord, God, God, God. Why do you feel that Peter felt the need to do that? Again, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Four times God is mentioned in regards to honoring God. Here's why. You ready? This is going to hurt. It's not about you. You ready? You know why submission is so hard? And we're all called to submit. You know why submission's so hard? Because you think it's about you. Submission is all about God. And if your walk, if your faith is in Christ alone, you understand submission. And you must learn it daily. Listen, God is mentioned four times because it's all about God. Our reaction to this world, our reaction to politics, is all about our God and how much we place faith in Him. I remember going to a house. I'll close with this. I remember going to a house to meet some people. Just going around the neighborhood, knocking on doors. just trying to make friends, maybe an opportunity to share the gospel. I came to this door. It was right around political season. I remember, it might have been George W. I don't even know who it was. And the man comes out of his door and he goes, "Are you a Democrat or a Republican?" And I sat there and I said, "That's not why I'm here." I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's not why I'm here. God gave me an opportunity to share the gospel with that man. The next day I shared the gospel with him. He wasn't there. His son was there. And his son had just gone through a divorce. His wife left him for another man. And he was upstairs and he goes, "Hey, are you the guy that talked to my dad?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Can you talk to me?" God gave me the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And we saw both of them come to Christ. During the election time, now or later, do you find yourself showing people around you that you don't trust God because of how you react to the elections? Does your submission to authorities show you lack trust in God for the people he's put in place? I know I was convicted this week. But let me ask you something. There are some of you in here, you've never submitted to Christ. You remember the word means to get in line? Listen, some of you need to get in line, and you need to get your order in line. And that should drive you to the cross. The cross of Christ. Without the cross, this sermon loses all its power. It makes no sense to follow authorities, to follow people who you don't trust or believe in. But if you know Christ, this sermon should make all the sense in the world. And so I'm asking you, person who has never placed their trust in Christ, are you ready to get in line? To submit to the one who created you. To submit to the one whom you've sinned against. To the one whom you've never trusted. And I'm asking you, will you submit unto salvation for the first time? To really understand what it means to trust God. To truly understand what it means to submit to God. To truly understand what it means to have faith in your Lord and Savior. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. I want to persuade you that Jesus is Lord and Savior and you need to put your trust in Him. That today might be the day of your salvation. Look to Christ, look to the cross. And for the rest of us, I hope that this message is convicting, but I hope it leads to change. I hope it leads to change in the people in here. To me, I'm a huge political buff, very competitive. But listen, it doesn't matter. I know that hurts, right? Because I know a lot of you are thinking, yes, it does matter. Listen, I want certain people in there too, but it doesn't matter. I will vote for anybody who will usher in Jesus quicker. Okay, if Jesus would just tell me that so-and-so is going to usher in the kingdom quicker, I'm voting for them. Right? You vote, and then you trust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its truths. Lord, my prayer for myself and for this church, the people who would truly profess Christ as Lord and Savior, that we would truly submit for your sake and your example to us. And Lord, that we would truly trust you. Trust your will. God, that you might get all the glory so that when people read our Bibles, when they read us, that it might give us a chance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. The true hope amongst a world that is becoming more and more godless. God, might you use us to reach those who don't know you and have no hope. Maybe today you reach a few. For your glory and in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.